I would like to ask you to please turn in your Bibles with me to the book of Numbers. Numbers chapter 21. We read here of one of the unusual accounts that took place in the nation of Israel. They had been, as you know by this time, freed from the captivity of Egypt. They are out in the wilderness, and I'm going to read beginning in verse 4 of Numbers 21. Then they set out from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to go around the land of Edom. And the people became impatient because of the journey. And the people spoke against God and Moses. Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no food and no water, and we loathe this miserable food. Speaking of the manna. And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, so that many people of Israel died. So the people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned, because we have spoken against the Lord and you. Intercede with the Lord that he may remove the serpents from us." And Moses interceded for the people. And then the Lord said to Moses, "Make a fiery serpent and set it on a standard. And it shall come about that everyone who is bitten, when he looks at it, he shall live." And Moses made a bronze serpent and set it on a standard, that is a pole. And it came about that if the serpent bit any man, when he looked at the bronze serpent, he lived. You get the picture here. The bronze serpent was on a standard or a pole, and it was lifted up for everyone around to see. Here's the situation. Many of these people had seen the works of God, the mighty hand of God, the miracles that God performed as they left the nation of Egypt and their captivity. Now they've been following Moses for some time through the wilderness, walking, always walking. They've had few comforts, eating that same food, the manna that God had provided for them. They had just at this point battled the Canaanites, and now they're in the low-lying plain of Arabah, which is between the steep mountain walls near the Dead Sea on one side and the Sea of Reeds on the other side. Many are hot. Many are tired. Many are aggravated. And they're wondering, why did we ever leave Egypt? Why did God deliver us from Egypt to just bring us out here in this wilderness to die? What are we doing out here? And you see that they say in the text that they don't have much vegetation or much water, and they hate the manna. And they are grumbling, look at what it says in verse 5, against God and against Moses. So they're grumbling and they're complaining, God, why did you bring us out here? Moses, why did you bring us out here? We're sick and tired of this walking. We're sick and tired of not having any food and only having this manna. We're sick and tired of this situation that you have brought us into. We're tired of our surroundings. We're tired of our circumstances, and we are blaming you. We're holding you accountable, God. Do something. And he does. He then gives them relief for their disbelieving hearts. He brings them death. As the text says, so the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people so that many people of Israel died. Fiery serpents, in other words, poisonous, venomous, and I guess the bite must have burned like fire when they were bitten. And the people were dying, falling here and falling there. Can you imagine what it must have been like for some of the people to see their children bitten by snakes, their husband or wife, their loved ones, bitten by snakes and dying, falling dead from the poisonous venom coursing through their bodies? Death was inevitable when you were bitten by one of these fiery serpents. It was a death sentence with no escape. And so they come to their senses and they repent. They realize what they've done. Oh God, have mercy on us. Moses, intercede on our behalf to God. They come to their senses in verse 7. We have sinned. We have sinned against God because we spoke against the Lord and against Moses. Do something. Save us. Help us. We're dying from these serpents that have bitten. God, take away these snakes. Take away this death. Moses, help us. So Moses intercedes to God. And what does God do? God does not remove the snakes. He does not take away the snakes. Now, that was what they said. They said, we've sinned because we've spoken against the Lord, and you intercede that the Lord may remove the serpents from us. But God didn't do that. God did not take away the serpents from them. God did not give Moses some anti-venom so that Moses could spread out anti-venom among the people so that anyone who has ever been bitten would take this anti-venom and then they would live. That's not what God does. God does not give away anti-venom. He makes another snake. But this time it is a bronze snake. And he places this snake on a pole. And he lifts up this snake before the congregation or the people of Israel and says that if you are bitten, look at the snake and you will live. Look at the snake and you will live. What? I'm dying here. I got poison in my body. It's burning like crazy. I'm about to die. And look at the snake is what you say? How on earth is looking at that snake going to help me? I need some real help here. Can you imagine how many people must have thought that? Can you imagine how many people didn't want to look because they thought perhaps it was too simplistic or whatever? But the fact of the matter is, God said, look at the snake and you will live. And we read in verse 9 that if a serpent bit any man when he looked at the bronze serpent, he lived. Now here's what I want you to do. I want you to pass quickly through several thousand years and turn to John chapter 3. We're going to go back briefly to Numbers, but turn to John chapter 3. We pass through many years, and we come to the region, the city of Jerusalem, the region near Jerusalem. It's late. It's dark. One of the rulers of the Jewish nation by the name of Nicodemus comes to Jesus, begins to ask him some questions. And Jesus tells him, you must be born again. and he teaches him some other things. But what I want to focus on is what our Lord Jesus says to Nicodemus in verse 14. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes may in him have eternal life. What I want for us to see this morning as we celebrate the remembrance of the death of our Lord are to see some of the connections and applications of what our Lord is teaching when he says, when the Son of Man is lifted up. Now, the first thing I would say is that from this text, we understand that the Son of Man must be lifted up. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. And even in the Gospel of John, this is pretty much in the beginning of his ministry. So he's telling the people even early on in his life, even early on in his ministry, he knew what was going to happen to him. He knew where he would wind up, as it were, in the flesh. That he would be lifted up. The Son of Man must be lifted up, is what he tells Nicodemus. First, he must be lifted up because of the critical need. The critical need of mankind. Think about what happened back in that account with Moses in Israel. They were bitten by snakes, and everyone who was bitten had this fiery poison going through them. And what happened to them? They died. They were bitten. They suffered. They died. Probably a painful death. Snake bite. Ooh, who likes to be bit by a snake? Snake bite. Poison in your body, pain, and they died. That was a critical need. I'm bit. Help. Do something. The people of Israel, the nation of Israel, had sinned against God. He sent his judgment, death by snakes. The stinging judgment of God was all around. Death was there for everyone to see. Do you think they knew they had a critical need? It did not take them long to cry out and say, "We've sinned! Help us! We're dying!" It didn't take them long at all. Why? Because death was right before their eyes. Death was visible. Death was all around. People were dying from these snakes biting them. So Jesus is saying here to Nicodemus, the same Israel is still sinning against God. The same Israel, the same nation that was back there with Moses in the wilderness is here today in their Jerusalem, in their houses, with their temple, and they're still sinning against God. They may be religious. They may be practicing their religion. They may be very adept at practicing their Jewish religion, but they were rejecting God. They were rejecting God's truth, and they were rejecting God's Son. Jesus knew that the Son of Man came to his own, and his own rejected him. Israel was still sinning against God. They failed to believe his law, his ways, and that Christ was the Messiah. They were on the brink of the judgment of God. The snake had bit, and Israel was this close to being gone as the nation, the people of God. And so Jesus is telling them, the Son of Man must be lifted up, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness. The Son of Man must be lifted up, that the people would look to him and be saved. There was a critical need right there in the nation of Israel to be looking at the remedy that God would provide. Now, for us today, men continue to sin against God. There is a constant, a real, a continual rebellion against God and the things of God by the people all around us and even by those who call themselves Christians in churches, as they reject the fundamental historical teachings of God's Word. They throw them over for the good times and the fun and the entertainment that they have replaced it with. They rebel against God's truth, and they treat His Son with disrespect. Things have not changed much. And so I say to you that there is a critical need in our day. God's judgment is at the door. The snake has bitten. And there's a critical need today for a remedy for this death, this spiritual death that is all around us. All around us. There are men dying, sentenced to hell because they have rejected God and they have rejected His Son, Jesus. It is as if people all around us have been bitten by vipers and they're about to die. So what can we do? Jesus gives the answer. Jesus gives God's complete remedy to man's critical need. God's complete remedy to man's critical need is our Lord Jesus Christ made into the image, not of a snake, but of sin. Moses lifted up a serpent before them, the image of that which had bitten them. Today, men are, as it were, bitten by sin. They are constantly sinning. They have sin coursing through their veins. And without Christ, without His saving power, they will perish for all eternity in hell. So Moses made a snake in the likeness of the snakes that were biting men in the camp. And Jesus was made into the likeness of sin. It's not that Jesus was sinful. He was perfect, the spotless Lamb of God. But He was made into the likeness of sin. I'm going to just ask you to turn with me momentarily to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. In Romans chapter 8, we read in verse 1, "There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, weak as it was, through the flesh, God did, sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, as an offering for sin, He condemned sin in the flesh." Now, there are several other passages that you can turn to show that Christ became flesh or became sin for us. Not that He was sinful, but He was made in the likeness of sin for us, that we would be able to look to Him and believe and be saved. I can't take the time to turn to those other passages, but to be the one who completely obliterates that venomous bite of sin in your life, Christ was made in the likeness of sin. And as Moses lifted up the serpent for the people, lifted it up on the staff or that standard in the midst of the camp of Israel, Jesus was lifted up for you. Look at John 19, the Gospel of John and 19. John 19 and verse 17. They took Jesus, therefore, and he went out bearing his own cross to the place called the place of a skull, which is called in Hebrew Golgotha. And there they crucified him, and with him two other men, one on either side and Jesus in between. And Pilate wrote an inscription also and put it on the cross. And it was written, Jesus the Nazarene, the King of the Jews. Put it on the cross. The cross was the standard, as it were. The cross was where Rome executed men, lifting them up so that all the people that would come by would see how Rome deals with its criminals. But they lifted them up for people to see. And even though Jesus was the spotless, sinless Lamb of God, he became in the likeness of sin and was lifted up for all to see as he hung on that cross at Golgotha. And men and women, as you read in the accounts, were passing by and they could see him. Some wept over him. Some cursed at him. But he was there for men to see, lifted up for men to see. Now, we did not live in those days. So how do we remind ourselves that Jesus was lifted up on a cross? By this, we remind ourselves through the celebration of the Lord's Supper that Jesus Christ's body was broken and Jesus Christ's blood was shed as he hung upon that tree. He was the exact remedy for our need. The exact remedy that God sent to provide us relief from sin. Now notice, if you go back a few pages in chapter 12, that this is exactly what Jesus told the disciples was going to happen. John chapter 12, look at verse 27. Now my soul has become troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. What hour? The hour that he was going to be placed upon the cross and lifted up before men. But for this purpose I came to this hour. The Son of Man must be lifted up. Father, glorify thy name. And there came therefore a voice from heaven, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. The multitude, therefore, who stood and heard it, they were saying that it had thundered, and others were saying, an angel has spoken to him. And Jesus answered and said, the voice has not come for my sake, but for your sakes. Now judgment is upon this world. Now the ruler of this world shall be cast out. And if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men to myself. Christ is going to be lifted up before all men to see. In that, he will be drawing men to himself. The Son of Man, verse 34, must be lifted up before men. The remedy to the bite of sin and death it brings was Jesus, made in the likeness of sin. Now go back to Numbers 21. just for a few moments. Numbers 21. The Son of Man must be lifted up. But not only that, the sons of men must look upon him. The Son of Man must be lifted up, but the sons of men must look to him. Now notice what the text says. Man's prerequisite was to look. They had to look. Verse 8. Then the Lord said to Moses, make a fiery serpent and set it on a standard, and it shall come about that everyone who is bitten, when he looks at it, he shall live. They had to look. The only Israelites who were bitten and lived were those who looked. The only ones who were bitten and lived were those who looked at God's remedy. If they didn't believe what God said, if they didn't believe it would work, and didn't look, they didn't live. They died. If they didn't believe God's remedy, if they didn't believe it would work, and didn't look, they didn't live. They died. And the only place to look was at the bronze serpent. It's not like they could look someplace else. They couldn't look at their wife. They couldn't look at their husband. They couldn't look at their children or their rabbi or Moses. They had to look at the serpent. That was the only place they could look. That serpent, was the only remedy, that bronze serpent. So they had to follow what God said. They had to have the faith and the confidence that what God said was true, and then they had to obey and look. And what happened? Verse 9. Moses made the bronze serpent, set it on a standard, and it came about that if a fiery serpent bit any man, when he looked to the bronze serpent, he lived. Amazing. God's promise was fulfilled. When they came to their senses, realized that they had sinned before God, and in faith looked to God's remedy, they lived. But again, I say to you, can you imagine how many Israelites wouldn't look, couldn't believe? They might say, that's too simple. Just looking at that serpent that Moses made is going to cure me? How could looking at that bronze snake help me? I'm dying. But this was the remedy that God supplied. God said, look by faith and live. Now back to John chapter 3. And here is what Jesus is saying in the gospel message to us today. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, and whoever believes may in him have eternal life. We are to look to him in faith to avoid death, to avoid hell. We are to look at the finished work of Christ lifted up upon the cross for us. We are to have faith and belief that this is true, that this is real, that this is the remedy for our sin, that Jesus Christ lifted up upon the cross is God's remedy for our critical need of sin and the punishment that we face. My people, everyone here has been bitten by sin. Everyone here is born a sinner. You have a death sentence on you. You will die. The question is, will you die and be consigned to hell for eternity and punishment for your sin? Or will you live the only way to live is to look at the lifted up Christ in faith and believe that he is God's remedy for your sin, for your sin bite, for your sin debt. Look to Christ and live. If you do not look, your sin bite will kill you for all eternity. Look to Christ and live. We look, those of us who have come, as it were, to our senses and realized that we have sinned against God, we look to that finished work of Christ, lifted up on the cross, and realize that his broken body and his shed blood is God's promised and complete remedy for our sin bite. And by looking at him in faith, we live for all eternity. Look at what Jesus says. For whoever believes in me, whoever believes, may in him have eternal life. This is what we are basing our very lives upon. Now, sadly, as you know, many don't believe any of this. Many don't believe they've been bit. Many don't believe in sin. Many don't believe in death, eternal death. They don't believe in heaven. They don't believe in hell. Some may, but they might look at their bite and say, well, you know, I'm not so bad. My bite's not quite as bad. I'm not that bad. My bite isn't too deep. I'm not going to die. I'm not fatal. It's not fatal for me. Some people believe literally the oldest lie in the book. You heard that term, like, that's the oldest trick in the book? Well, the oldest lie in the book is in this book. And the oldest lie in this book comes from another snake, a serpent, who said to Eve, you surely will not die. And people today are believing that lie. Well, you know, I got bit, but it ain't so bad. I'm not going to die. I'm not going to die from this. I don't believe that. I don't believe in any of this stuff. You surely will not die. It's just a little bite. My sin's not so bad. After all, I'm not as bad of a sinner as my neighbor down the street. Now, they are really bad sinners. I'm not so bad. I'm not going to die. They might die, but I'm not going to die. People believe that. People rationalize and people say those things. Or they believe in philosophical arguments, which keep them from the truth. They're told that they are to use reason and intellect and just deny the whole matter of God and heaven and hell completely. Or they say, how could believing in something that a man did 2,000 years ago have any effect whatsoever on my life or my eternity today? That's just ridiculous. Come on. Get with the times. That's ancient thinking. That's antiquated thinking. We're smarter than that today. How could anything a man did 2,000 years ago have any effect on us today? Come on. Looking to Christ for them would be totally foolish. And then there's others who follow false theological understanding to keep them from the truth, or they follow different ways, and they say things like, all roads lead to heaven. I may be bit, but I can look somewhere else other than Jesus. Like, if those guys out, the Israelites out in the wilderness, yeah, okay, Moses, I like your snake, that's okay for me, but I'm going to look over here. Some other guy made a turtle, and I'm going to look at the turtle because he's a lot less offensive than a snake, just a kind little turtle. So I'm going to look at the turtle, and what happened to them? Right. They died. All roads do not lead to heaven. Jesus is not just one way. Jesus is the only way. You must look to Christ. You must look to Jesus. Or people would say, oh, don't worry. God is all love. You may die, but you know what? God is all love, and everybody will go to the light. It's okay. It's okay if you die. Everybody goes to heaven. Well, maybe guys like Hitler don't go to heaven, but everybody else. So don't worry about it. He'd never send anyone to hell. Or maybe they'd say, just say some more prayers. Just do some more works. Just finger a few more beads. That would be like trying to suck out the poison. Try to suck out the poison. Drink an antidote. There's got to be some other way. But there isn't. And the sad reality is that those who ignored God's remedy in the nation of Israel, which we read in Numbers chapter 21 and verse 6, many died that day. Many died that day. They would not look. They would not believe, and they perished. And for whatever reason, today, many refuse to look at Christ, and they perish in their sins, and they wake up in hell because they refuse to look, to heed the remedy that Christ has given. What about you? What about you children here today? What about all of you here? Will you look to the one who is the fulfillment, Christ Jesus, the promised Messiah? Christ is the fulfillment of that picture given in Numbers 21. That serpent that was lifted up that gave men life. Christ is the fulfillment. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. He's the fulfillment. Look to Christ. His finished work is before us all today. This is a picture of Him being lifted up, His broken body, His shed blood reminds us of the reality that Christ was lifted up before all men. And we must look to the cross. We must look to the finished work of Christ in faith, in belief, and we will live. We will live. There's no other sin remedy, no other anti-sin venom. There's no ointment you can put. You can't try to exterminate the snakes. You'll miss one, and it'll bite you, and you will die. You can't make an offering to the pole that held up the snake. You can't work or earn what the snake can give you or would have given those Israelites. They had to look and believe. And Christ is saying you have to look and believe. Not to Moses, not to a pastor, not to a mommy or a dad, but to Christ and His finished work on the cross. Not even yourself. You know, people stare at the bite and look at, you know what, if I clean up my act, I'll be okay, I won't die. Have to look to Christ. Look to Jesus and Jesus alone. He has shed His blood on the cross. That is God's complete remedy. And that will bring you God's promised cure. Those who look live. Those who look, as Jesus said, will live for eternity. God's promised remedy brings God's divine cure. sins forgiven, eternal life with Christ. Put your trust in him by looking at Christ. You know, that text in Isaiah chapter 45, and don't turn there, Isaiah 45 verse 22, look unto me, all ye, and be saved, all the ends of the earth. That was the text used by God to save Charles Spurgeon when he was a young boy or a teenager. Look to me and be saved, all the ends of the earth. Anyone can look. It's not hard. All you got to do is look. But you must look to Jesus. No other will do. And then you will be saved. Saved from the judgment of God. Saved from death. All the ends of the earth. Whoever believes in him will have everlasting life. Look to me and live. If I be lifted up before men, I will draw them to myself. Look at the body of Christ, lifted up and broken for you. Look at Christ lifted up and his blood poured out and shed for you. Look and live. Look to Jesus, lifted up for you, and believe and be saved. Let's pray.